Your Bibles this morning, we'll turn please to the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13. We'll read a few verses here. Try to preach what's on our heart from the Lord this morning. Certainly desire your prayers that the Lord would help us. Realize we can't do anything without Him. Appreciate what He's already done in our midst this morning. I think I could leave now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad for what He stirs in our heart, letting us know. I'm glad I know this morning, but I'm glad He lets me know every now and again. He stirs it within me. And I know it ain't all on feelings, and as mentioned maybe last Sunday in the Sunday school hour, but I'm going to tell you what, salvation may not all be about feelings, but if I didn't have one that I could feel every now and again, I'd probably check up on what I had. One little old girl, and her dad was trying to explain to her about salvation, about how the Lord lives on the inside of us. And she said, well, little as I am, big as God is, if He moves inside me, He'd stick out somewhere, wouldn't He? And the dad said, yeah, that's exactly right. And so if you're born again, He'll stick out somewhere. May not be in every service. You may not always have something to say, but He'll show evidence inside you that you've been born again, and I'm glad for that this morning. Acts chapter 13, when you found your place, if you're able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the precious Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse number 13 of Acts chapter number 13. Now when Paul and his company had loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. With an high arm brought He them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered He their manners in the wilderness. When He had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, He divided their land to them by lot. And after that He gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. When He had removed him, He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also He gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John at first preached before His coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew Him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning Him. And though they found no cause of death in Him, yet desired they Pilate that He should be slain. When they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, they took Him down from the tree and laid Him in a sepulcher. But God raised Him from the dead. And He was seen many days of them which came up with Him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are His witnesses unto the people. We declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which is made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another Psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Read these verses here in Acts chapter 13, and Paul is on his journeys and has preached, and some have joined themselves with him, and some have went away. That's the record of the first part of Acts chapter number 13. Some have joined in with Paul in this ministry, and they have been sent to other places as Paul begins to travel. Some have also decided to leave, but the Bible picks up where we have picked up reading about where they have now come into Antioch in verse number 14, and they have went in, that is Paul and his company, in verse 13. They have walked into the synagogues on the Sabbath day, and they had sat down to hear the reading of the words of the Lord. Now, as they're in the synagogue among the Jews and also of those who are not Jews, the Bible said that the rulers of the synagogue read the law and of Moses, and then when they are finished with their ceremonial reading, they beckon unto Paul or send word to him and his company in the audience, and they ask them, they said, men and brethren, in verse number 15, where I want to preach this morning, that's on my heart, he said, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And so I want to preach this morning on those two words, say on. I began to think, and the Lord began yesterday to deal with my heart about this saying of exhortation. Now, I'm not going to get real deep this morning. I'm not a deep preacher anyway, but I want to preach how it's on my heart about this thing of exhorting the people. Now these rulers of the synagogue, they sent to Paul and his company, not just requesting of Paul, but requesting of all them that are with him, if any of them have some word of exhortation, they don't want them to keep it to themselves, they don't want them just to bide the time and to leave without sharing what's on their heart. They want them to say on. Or in other words, if God has put something on your heart for the people, we want to hear what God has given to you. We want you to say what's on your heart. And we want you to speak what God has put within you. And they use this word, words of exhortation. Now I looked up that word exhortation, or to exhort, and it just simply means to encourage, to cheer on, to stir the heart. Ain't it amazing that he said, if you have any word of exhortation for the people. Now exhortation is always for the people. Exhortation is not for God. Worship is for God. But exhorting is for the people. But I will say this, exhortation is for the people, but exhortation is of God. It's not just what I'm talking about this thing of cheering on, of encouragement, of refreshing, of stirring. That's what the word means. I'm not here this morning saying that we need some good sounding stories, or we need something to pull our heartstrings, but what exhortation is, and it is the testimony of the goodness and the grace of God for the people. It is someone's experience with God that they share with the people for the means of encouraging them in whatever state they currently are in. I don't know about, not much is told us at this point about this people, about this group that's here, but apparently by their request of the Apostle Paul, maybe some of them are discouraged. Maybe some of them are in a hard place and they want to hear a word of exhortation from the Lord. And so they beg Paul, they bid for him to say on whatever is on his heart. I want to say some things about this thing of exhortation and try this morning, if the Lord will help me, to exhort you. And more importantly than that, above everything, what's on my heart this morning, the way God has put it in me to preach to you is this. If God ever stirs in you and you ever have a word that you know is from Him, I want you to say on, speak it, don't bide your time, don't hold it within you. If God's put it on your heart, then somebody in the church needs to hear what you have to say. You say, well, I always speak up. I'm always the one to testify. Or I don't have much to say. Whatever's in your heart. They said, do you have a word? You might just have one word. But if it's in you from God, say on. This thing of exhortation. I got a few things on my heart that the Lord put there last night, and I'll give them to you and then we'll be done. I want to say, first of all, according to scriptures, there's much that's said about exhortation or about exhorting one another. And the way that I read it in the scripture, exhortation is a must. There's many things said about it. It's mentioned several times in the Word of God, but every time it's mentioned, it's not just mentioned, it's mandated. It is required of us as the people of God to exhort one another. The Bible said, not for sin. Now we know that verse so well, the first part of it, but we don't know all of it. We tend to quote part of it and skip over some of the most important parts. But the Bible said in Hebrews 13 that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And that's the way everybody wants to quote it, and they want to stop there. But that's not where the verse stops. And I'm all for being faithful to the house of God. If you're born again, you ought to be here, bar none. I mean, I know people get sick. I know things come up. But if you're able to be in the house of God, you ought to be here. But the Bible said, not forsake it, the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, not the more attendance, but the more of exhortation, as we see the day approaching. You say, well, what day is that? Well, there's a lot of conflict, a lot of different opinions. Some believe it's the day of the coming of the Lord. Some believe it's the day of one's death. But nevertheless, however you think it, what it really means is this. While we've got time, we're to be about the business of exhorting one another. And so much the more, the closer we get to the end. It said in Hebrews chapter 3 that we're to exhort one another daily. Ain't that a thought? Now, we go back to the book. I mean, and I'm not going to get mean this morning or rough, I promise. I'm just going to try to preach my heart. But I'm telling you, if we go back to the first church, the Bible said they met daily. They exhorted one another. They were in the same mind. They broke bread and they fellowship. Now we're over to the book of Hebrews. And he says to exhort one another daily. while it's called today, before tomorrow comes, again about the end, while we have time, every chance we get, every word from God we get, exhort one another. You say, we don't gather together daily. That's not what I'm trying to say. But you may go through the week, and we may come into the service on Sunday morning. God may put something in your heart to say, and you ought to say it. But we may get out in the week and not gather together, and God may put somebody on your heart just to say something to them, encourage them. You ought to say it. You say, well, I can't get them on the phone. Well, text it to them. Do something. Just say it. What God's put on your heart and exhort others, say on. You wouldn't believe what a help it'll be. There have been days in my life, and I know, and I'm not trying to get modern in all the things, but you wouldn't believe the weeks I've had in my life where I was so low that I didn't feel like I could go on or even wanted to go on. And it might not have been a call. May have been. There have been those times. But just a text from somebody else, a brother or a sister, to say, I'm praying for you. I love you. God's faithful. Hang in there. It will exhort and encourage the people. Paul is beckoned to encourage, beckoned to give a word of exhortation. And ain't it amazing that in all the verses, I could have probably stopped at the end of verse 15 and preached my thought, but I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to read on to where we read. For us to understand, Paul didn't say anything about himself. He said everything about God. And he said down there in the 30s, he said, we give to you glad tidings. He said, I've got good news to tell, and it ain't about me, but it's about God. You may be here this morning, and deep down inside you, while we're singing them songs about knowing, about never being sorry, there's some good news bubbling up in you, and you just kind of held it back. But I'm telling you this morning, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. It's a must. We like to focus. Now I remember when I got my charge, when they ordained me to preach, and the pastor, and they charged me to preach the word. But in that same verse, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse number 2, Paul charges Timothy not just to preach, but to exhort. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's a time, and the Holy Spirit is the one that knows all about it. He's the one that knows the time. There's a time to preach, and there's a time to exhort. There's a time to deal with sin, and there's a time to try to give refreshment, encouragement to stir. Peter was an exhorter. He said, I find it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He said, I want to exhort you to carry on. Not here talking about just making each other feel good. I'm not talking about what they're doing in these mega churches, patting on the back and preaching some strange doctrine. I'm just talking about telling what God has done for us, that somebody else needs to hear, and the Holy Ghost knows so. So He's put it in your heart. You ought to stay on and help the brother or sister that needs it. If we go back to the Old Testament, we go all the way back then, and it was still in the mind of God, the need for exhortation. When Moses is going off the scene in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and chapter 3, the Bible said by commandment, God commanded Moses to encourage Joshua. And you can go to Deuteronomy 31, I think it is, and you can read that great, it's two verses. That's all it is. Two verses. We think when it comes, and I'm not browbeating anybody, if you've got 15 minutes on your heart and it's of God, you ought to say it. But we get it in our mind, we have to have some great and swelling words to be able to stand and tell what God's done for us. And I can't quote it word for word, but I can paraphrase it. Them two big verses that Moses gave to Joshua by commandment of the Lord, because Moses is dying and Joshua's coming along, and the Lord said, "Now, Moses, you know how these people are. You know what kind of attitude they have. You spend enough time with them to know that Joshua's going to be discouraged. Encourage him." And this is what Moses says to Joshua in our terminology. He said, "Now, Joshua, the command of God is this, for you to lead the people into Canaan. I'm dying. I'm going to see it, but I'm not going to get to go in because of my disobedience." And Joshua is Moses' minister. He was there on that day when Moses was on the mountain and meeting and communing with God and heard the sound in the camp. He was there that day to see Moses be disappointed at the people that for 3 days they hadn't seen Moses. So they thought he was gone. And they quit serving God and made a calf to worship and bowed and danced before him. He was there for all of that. He's been there for the murmuring and the griping and the complaining. And Moses' first words is, "It's you, Joshua. It's all on you." And Joshua's heart sinks. And then verse number 2 comes. And really, if we really want to say anything about it, the first verse is really not the exhortation. It's just relaying to him again the truth of his position. The second verse is the whole part of exhortation. So if you really want to criticize yourself, Moses, by commandment of God, only really had one verse. And this is what he said in our terminology. He said, "God was with me, Joshua. He brought me through. He did it for me. And the same God that did it for me, He'll do it for you. So don't be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord will fight for you." That was his whole word. You say, what did he say? He said, "God has done it for me, and He'll do it for you." And there may be somebody here this morning that feels like your situation's hopeless, that feels like your problem's impossible, that feels like what you're going through will never end, or that maybe God can't work like that in these days. And somebody else in the congregation, God's put it in your heart to say old. You ought to say old and let them know that God can for them. It's a must. Not just something we ought to do, we must do. You say, "Well, why is it a must?" Now, I'm just going to preach it how God put it on my heart. I'd take you where I was in my house. I was sitting in my chair last night, and the Lord, these thoughts just came like a tidal wave. I didn't have to see it and think about what to say. God just kept working them from the Scripture. And over there in Hebrews chapter 3, He said, "Exhort one another daily while it's called today." And then He used the next word. He used is "lest." "Lest there be in any one of you an evil spirit of unbelief." So I want to say this thing, exhortation, is not just a must, but according to the Scriptures, it's a medicine. It is a preventative medicine. I believe that's right. That's what the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart last night. So if you want to take it up with anybody, take it up with God. I think that exhorting of the work of exhortation is a preventative medicine for the people of God, and true exhortation that comes from God that will prevent against discouragement. It'll prevent against despair. It'll prevent against drifting away. It'll prevent against dabbling in sin. Just say what's on your heart. That somebody may need the prescription this morning. I believe that's right. I believe it's a medicine. I believe that God in the book of Deuteronomy, wrote the prescription through Moses, and he used Moses as the pharmacist to give the prescription of exhortation to Joshua to prevent against his discouragement, to prevent against his doubt, to prevent against him kicking out and giving up. Moses had been there. Moses wanted God to kill everybody, and himself included. Moses said, I wash my hands of this rebellious people. And God said, it's coming for Joshua. We need some medicine for him. I believe that's right. There may be somebody here this morning that in your heart is growing discouragement. And in your heart is growing despair. And in your heart is growing doubt about what God can or will do. And in your heart, you feel yourself drifting away, thinking, what's the use? Why am I doing what I'm doing? In your heart, the world may allure you and pull you away. And somebody here this morning has the prescription from God to prevent all of that. It's a medicine. Not just a must, it's a medicine. And we need it this morning. Somebody needs it. I mean, I think we probably, if the truth was known, we all probably need it. How to hear from God. How to be exalted again. Then I want to say, and I didn't tell him what I was preaching. I just texted him yesterday because the Word, and I believe I prayed about it and God spoke to my heart. I believe we still have them today. And I believe we have some of them in our church, thank God. But the Word, we don't use it so much anymore. But I want to say exhortation is not just a must and a medicine. I believe for some, it is given as a ministry. I believe some people, and you can follow out with me if you want to, have a gift from God for exhortation. We have some of them in the church. Every time they stand, I'm not putting off on anybody else, I get to you in just a minute. You just hang on a second. But some within the church, every time they stand, it stirs my heart. It's a gift given to them. And we can't fret about what gift they have that we don't have, because to go back to Corinthians and understand that God set us all in the body that seemed good to Him to place us. We don't all have the same gift. We don't all have the same office. We're just part of the body and we ought to be content to be there. But in the old days, they would call these people exhorters. And they would go around, mostly to my understanding, they would go to local meetings. When revival was going on in churches, they would go and God would use them to encourage the people, to stir the service, to help the people, to overcome whatever it is that's in their way so they can have revival. And they wouldn't stand and read off of some big book with four main points. They weren't a preacher. That's just an exhorter. They'd just stand under the leadership of the Spirit of God and tell what God had done for them. We read about some in the Bible who had the gift of exhorting. Matter of fact, there's more of them than you think that God gave them a gift. Peter was one of them. I'd already mentioned him. And I know the ones I'm going to mention are preachers or prophets or men of God. And I'm not trying to say that's not it. Anybody, God can make anybody an exhorter. But if you want to know the truth, the Apostle Paul, I know he preached some hard stuff sometimes and he didn't beat around the bush, but God gave him the gift of exhortation. Because if you read just a few chapters over, they have stoned him and carried him outside the city and left him for dead. And the Bible said he stood up after being stoned, after being left for dead, and instead of caring about himself, he exhorted the people. It's just in him to do so. He exhorted Timothy. He exhorted Titus. He exhorted others to do what God had gave them to do and use his own life, his own sufferings to show that God was there for him and he could be there for them. I'm going to tell you something about an exhorter. Many times, if it goes in parallel with the Scriptures, and I believe it does, many times those that suffer most have the greatest gift of exhorting. Because they can tell you what God has brought them through and show you by their own life that God is faithful and that He's able to carry you through as well. We were here in revival not too many weeks ago. And the dear sister that sat over here on the second pew back, Sister Anna Scott, she's an exhorter. God's given her the gift of exhortation that she's able to do. And it may not come out in words that we think it ought to be. It may not make much sense to us, but it'll stir your heart. See, being an exhorter is not that you stand and analyze and think, well, what do the people need to hear today? That's not what you do. You do what is put on your heart by the Spirit of God. And God knows what the people need to hear. And it may be you this morning that I'm preaching about, and that God's given to you the gift of exhortation. You ought to use the gift. You say, I don't want to be one. But the Bible said the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If He's put the gift in you, He intends for you to use it. Sometimes we worry about what folks will think. I know how it is. We're all flesh. We're all human. We all have the same thoughts. All of us have the same thoughts about our spirituality. Well, you want me to say something again, Lord? I'm the one who always says, oh, well, if you are, if you ain't, if God puts it on you, say on. It's a ministry. But then I'm done this morning. I hope you got something out of it. It's helped my heart this morning. Exhortation is not just a ministry, but I believe with all that's in me, by the help of the Holy Ghost, that exhortation is at some time, may not be in every service like it is for some, but at some time it is manifested in the life of every believer. That being said, this is what I mean. If you're saved, there will be some time in your life where God will put it in your heart to publicly exhort the brethren. I believe that's right. That's what the Bible said. All the people of God, from some time or another, will have a word from the Lord. The Bible said, if I read my Bible right, in verse 15, and I'm done, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren. Now we're reading verse 16. Paul, who has the ministry, is the one at this point to stand up. But they didn't say, Paul, if you have a word. You understand what I'm saying? They open the floor to all of them. If any of you have something from God, we want to hear it. You say, well, why didn't the others say? Because it wasn't their turn. Ain't that right? I believe if it had been their turn, doesn't matter whether we knew their name, they could have went unnamed. Could have just said a man in Paul's company stood and said what he said and it helped the people. And it wouldn't matter whether we knew his name or not. It wasn't about him. It's about God. I'm going to say this. If it's your turn, you know it's your turn. You won't have to sit there and wonder and think, well, does God really want me to say something today? I say something a lot, or I don't ever say anything. I wonder if God wants... You don't have to wonder about all that. If you have a word from the Lord, you'll know it. Amen. Something big as the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and says, say this, you'll know it. We're not here, and I don't have to cover this because of what the Lord has given us here, and we better never take it for granted. Now, I'm not talking about some loose mule outfit where you just get up and do whatever you think you need to do or whatever comes to your mind. I'm talking about what's in your heart. You'll know. And I'm not discouraging you from saying it. If it's in your heart and you know it, you know I want you to say it. And it don't really matter whether I do or not, God does. Now, I'm here this morning in my feeble way, I don't know. I don't feel like I really have that gift of exhortation. Every now and again, I feel like the Lord lets me do a little bit of it. But I think it's my duty this morning, it's my mandate this morning to exhort you to exhort others. That's been my whole goal this morning, because that's what the Spirit of God has put in my heart, that if you have a word of exhortation from the Lord, I want to exhort you to stay on. Don't keep it bottled up inside. Don't go home like I have before, and we all probably have, if we've been saved for any length of time with the Lord dealing with us and resist it and fight against it and not want to do it and go home. And then when we get there, the regret sets in and we think, well, I wish I'd have minded the Lord. Don't go home with that attitude. Just mind God and go home happy and let everybody else get exhorted and helped. See, here's the reality. I understand preaching is not the same as everything else, but in this sense, it's all the same. When I stand to preach, I really don't know, unless the Lord has given me direct insight, I don't know who's there and needs it, and I don't know why they need it, but the Lord does. And it's the same for you. You may feel like you say stuff all the time or never say anything, and you think nobody wants to hear what I have to say. God, if God's put it in your heart, it's because there's somebody in the congregation that needs to hear what you have to say. Of the Lord for the people. Every time in the Scriptures you read about exhortation, it's always of God for the people. It is always speaking of God, of His work, of His power, of His glory, of His grace, of His goodness for the betterment of the people. That being said, and I'm done, it's not that you stand in your heart and say, I'm going to do this to help the people. You stand in your heart and you do what you do for the glory and the honor of God and because you're being obedient to Him, and let Him take care of the rest. You can't do what you do for others. You've got to do what you do for God and let Him use it for the help of others. If we always do what we do for others, when it does not have the effect we think it ought to have, it will discourage us from being obedient the next time. But if we'll just stand, do what we do, and that goes from the pulpit to the back pew, if we'll just do what we do for the glory of God, whether it does what we think it ought to do or not, we've done it for Him, and that's all that matters. And leave the results, leave the effects, leave the outcome up to God. And so I want to say again, with these rulers here in the synagogue, ye men of brethren, anybody in the congregation, if you have a word of exhortation for the people, say on. If God has, and maybe He's not this morning, but if He has, I'd exhort you and encourage you to stay on. But any time in the future, regardless of who's here, regardless of who's not, if He puts it in your heart, a word of exhortation from Him for the people, I exhort you this morning to stay on. Don't keep it bottled up. Don't try to squash it. Don't try to put it down. Don't analyze what He's told you to say. Just say it. And let God do His work. Father in heaven, this morning I thank You for this privilege and opportunity to have been able to assemble together in Your house with Your people this morning.